Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His words are what matter. His words are eternal. His words are spirit and they are life. And so God's word is the final word. It's the final authority in our life. We judge everything by the word of God. We build our life on his word and not on our opinions. We're not just looking for our viewpoint. We take our viewpoint, which is extremely limited, and we put it up against his word. And we let the Holy Spirit give us revelation of God's viewpoint. And we join our viewpoint to his. We submit our will and our thinking to him. We're not living according to our own will, according to our own wants and desires. We're wanting to follow the desires of the heart of God. We've been given his heart, and so we want to follow his desires. Even when it comes to prosperity and it comes to the blessings of God and the good things that God has for us, we want these things because God wants us to have these things. Not just because we want these things, but we want what we want because it's what God wants for us. We want what he wants for us. So we're not speaking from ourselves. We're not just saying what we think about stuff. We're not just giving our opinion. We're always coming back and saying, what does the word say about this? What's the Spirit of God saying about this? Because the Spirit of God is always going to lead us in line with the word of God, which is in line with the character of God, with the desires of God. So we always want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and keep ourselves filled with the word of God so that we're following what God would have us to do in life. We want to walk in the truth, and that's when we're going to experience freedom. We're going to experience liberty in life. We're not looking for our opinion. We're not interested in expressing our opinion. We're not interested in hearing everybody else's opinion on it, on whatever it might be. And we talked about last week, we were talking about opinions, and the word opinion in review means a view formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. So it's not based on fact or knowledge. Of course, it's not based on the truth. And the truth is even greater than the facts. How many of you know facts are subject to change? The truth is not subject to change. The truth will change the facts. The facts are this, yeah, but the truth is this. So the definition of opinion is a view formed about something, not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. We could say not based on the truth. And if it's not based on the truth, how interested are we in it? Not at all. Not at all, praise God. Well, this is how I feel about it. That's nice. What does God say about it? What is God? How does God feel about it? I know how God feels about it because I got his word. His word expresses how he feels about things. So let's come back to how God feels about it. Not just how we think about it, or how it feels to us, how it feels to other people. And like I said, we live in a very opinionated society. Very opinionated. You've got all these talk shows, you know, whether on the radio or the television. You think about some of these television talk shows. I really hope you don't watch these things. I mean, they are so sad, so sadly pathetic. As you just have this council of babblers, just babbling away, giving their opinions. And I mean, they get really dogmatic about some of their opinions, you know. They get real bold about it. And they'll rise up and get to yelling at each other, get to screaming at each other over what? Over what they think about it. It isn't even like the truth. It's just their thoughts about it. and it must be based on some facts, but facts are subject to change. Facts are fleeting, but the word of God is eternal. It is forever. So when you build your life on the word of God, the more you build your life on the word of God, the more when you see these kind of things, the more superficial they appear to you, the more ridiculous they appear to you. They seem like utter, total nonsense, craziness, insanity in some cases. I mean, the more you walk in the truth, the more insane, the more superficial, the more ridiculous the things of the flesh will appear to you. The more opinions will be just as nothing to you. And like I said, it'd just be a bunch of folks just to babbling. And if people are entertained by it, people get all stirred up about it, enter into the arguing, they'll start throwing their opinions at the television set, you know, and get all upset about it. But the word opinionated means conceitedly assertive and dogmatic in one's opinion. And you see that, like I said, with these talk shows, you see it, social media, you know, and just this is how people are today. People are very big on giving their opinion, and they want to hear everybody's opinion. People feed on one another's opinion, but we shall not live by bread alone, but by every opinion by the people around us. Should we be feeding on the opinions of the people around us? Should we be feeding on people's opinions? Yeah, people do. Just like you can feed on the word of God. Just like you can feed on God's word. This is you can feed on the truth. You can feed on people's opinions too. And that'll get you sick. That'll catch up to you. That'll get you nauseous. Now, some things, you know, you just keep eating it, keep eating it, keep eating it, keep eating it. And, you know, you might not even notice a problem right away. It might take years. But before you start, you know, developing problems in your body because you're eating all these chemicals or all these different things you're putting in your body. And you're putting all these wrong things in your body. Sometimes it takes time. Well, it's the same thing with opinions. People are just munching on opinions. Just eating them up, eating them up, eating them up, eating them up. And it's going to affect you spiritually. It's going to affect you in your spirit. It's going to affect your faith if you allow yourself to keep feeding on these things. We feed on the word of God. Amen? But you see, assuming things, assumptions have replaced revelation, have replaced the truth of God's word. People aren't looking for the truth. They're looking for opinions. They're looking for what other people say about it. That's why we have all these polls that come out when it comes to presidential races or governor races or whatever kind of government races are going on, you know. We have these polls because they use polls to manipulate people's decisions because that's what people now feed on. That's what people now look to. They're looking to opinions. What's your opinion? And you get enough people that are believing a certain way, it'll literally sway much of the population that way simply because it's a popular opinion. And so they love using these polls to manipulate votes, to manipulate people to vote in a certain direction. Because people aren't looking for the truth. People aren't following their convictions. People have become extremely superficial. Our whole society is designed to make you super, super, superficial. God's word is designed to make you super, super natural. Right? We want to be supernatural, not superficial. But being superficial is the official word of the land. But not for you and I. The supernatural word of God is the official word for us. That's what we stand by. That's what we look to. That's what we need to be looking to. But you got to watch, because if you're watching the world and you get caught up in that, it will make you very superficial. And you also will become just another opinionated person that is assuming things rather than looking for the truth, looking for the truth of God's word. An assumption is a thing that is accepted as true or as certain to happen without proof. But it's accepted as truth. This is the truth in a lot of people's minds. This is what's going to happen. They expect this to happen. But it's not the truth. So it may not happen. It may not happen. You don't want to build your life on something that is wishy-washy. Something that appears a certain way, but is not necessarily the way. You build your life on it, and you might build it nice and tall, and your whole life is just a prospering and growing. It's like a skyscraper, and it's got all this stuff going on, and then just one little earthquake, and the whole thing comes down and wipes out a whole lot of other buildings, wipes out a whole lot of people. And, you know, the earth is eventually going to quake around your life. So we want to make sure we're built on the rock so that no matter what gets to shaking, we're not. We're not shaken. We can't be shook. So right and wrong in our society today is now based on popular opinion polls or how it seems or sounds to other people, not on the truth. And thus is the scripture fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and in verse 14, it says, "Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. Truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey, makes himself a target. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice." Even our courts, our government leaders, our judges, many times now, they're not judging according to the truth. Now everything is just according to their opinion. I remember, you know, one of these, you know, there's been so many now, these judges on television. You know, these television court cases that they televise. I remember this one judge, he made the comment, "I judge according to how I see it." Well, you're not supposed to judge according to how you see it. You're supposed to judge it according to the laws of the land. You're supposed to judge according to the Constitution. See, there's a foundation that's been laid, and you're supposed to judge according to that, not according to your feelings and how you see it and your opinions. And judges need to get their discernment from God, from the Word of God. There's an anointing to be a judge. There's an anointing to be a government leader, a government ruler. But a lot of the rulers today have no regard for the truth. They have no regard for the anointing. So they're just doing things as they see it or how they feel about it, not according to the truth. But God wants to anoint government leaders. You see that throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, Romans chapter 13. The governments are set up by God. God has ordained these things. God wants to be actively involved in these things. And the person might not even be saved, but when they step behind that bench, they sit in that chair, there's an anointing for them to be able to judge. There's an anointing for them to be able to rule. There's an anointing for them to be able to discern and know things. But if you have no regard for the truth, then you will have no anointing. You won't connect with the Spirit of God. But that's how it's supposed to operate. But a lot today is just, it's opinions. It's a big show in a lot of cases. It's just a big pride show. And it just should not be that way. That's why righteousness, he says, stands afar off. Justice is turned back. Truth has fallen in the streets. When you think of something fallen, you know, you think of like a government, a city that is overthrown and it falls to a conquering army. And it's like truth has fallen and been conquered by opinions, by assumptions, by people's feelings and thoughts. Truth has fallen. And now those that stand for the truth, they're bizarre to people. They're strange to people. People now of conviction are despised in the land because truth is despised in the land. And so when you stand up for the truth, you actually make yourself a target of adversity and harassment. And that's what Isaiah is talking about. And in many cases, that's what has happened in our society today. But thank God, I'm believing for a revival. How about you? I'm looking for things to turn around. Glory to God. And we can see God move in such a powerful way in the next few years. Glory be to God that over the next couple generations, man, there is peace, there is prosperity, there is truth that is reigning in the land. Truth is reigning in the land, and all the corruption and all the fleshiness is overthrown, and it has fallen in the street. It has fallen. It has been conquered to a move of God. It has fallen to the truth. Can it happen? It's got to happen. We're here. I said we're here, and we're a part of that conquering army of truth. And we stand up, and we raise the standard. We raise the standard of God's word, and we live by the word of God. And if God just has just a few folks that'll stand up, be unwavering, and walk like they're more than conquerors, then bless God, they will conquer. And the glory of God will again fill the land, hallelujah, and overthrow all this falsehood, all this deception, all this corruption. Because when people don't build their lives on absolute truth, they are easily manipulated. And so deceivers multiply in the land. Corruption is increased in the land. So we've got to bring the light back into the land, expose the superficiality, expose the corruption, expose all the nonsense, and let the light of God, the truth of God's word, shine again. Can you say amen? Amen. Over in Psalm 19 and in verse 13, it says, keep back your servant also. This is a prayer to God. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. All transgressions are the result of presumption. People acting outside the word of God. You get outside the word of God and you're going to sin. You get outside the word of God, you're going to transgress. And you're going to make a mess. People that transgress make a mess. Not only for themselves, but they make a mess for others also. Sin is the result of getting outside, operating, acting, speaking out outside the truth. It's getting away from the word of God. That's why people transgress. So we want to stay with the truth of God's word. We do not want to be presumptuous. Presumption means an idea that is taken to be true and often used as the basis for other ideas, although it is not known for certain. So it's an idea that's taken as truth, and then people build on it with more ideas as though it's the truth. So you have ideas and more ideas piled up on what is supposed to be the truth, but it's not. It's not certain. And so eventually it's going to collapse. It's going to create a big mess. It's going to cause transgression to increase in the land as ideas pile up on top of ideas that are not grounded, that are not based on the truth of God's word. It's going to cause more and more sin to increase in the land, transgression to increase in the land. So he says, keep your servant back. It's so tempting to enter into it because it's all around us. Presumption. Assuming things, living according to your opinion. It's all around us all the time. And so it's a prayer we need to get a hold of right here. God, keep me back. We can't even trust in ourselves, can we? You know, to keep ourselves back. We need him to keep us back. Lord, keep your servant back from presumption, from presumptuous sins. Don't let them rule over me. Don't let them conquer me. Over in Numbers chapter 15, we see more that presumption is, in fact, sin. Think about that. Assuming and presuming, living by those things, is actually sin. Numbers chapter 15, verse 30, it says, "But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him." What's he talking about here? He's talking about acting outside the word of God and doing things presumptuously. He says the person that is presumptuous should be cut off. He has despised the Lord. He has despised the word of God. He has broken God's commandments. He brings reproach on the Lord. See, when we don't go back to the word of God, when we build our life on our opinions and our feelings or other people's opinions and feelings, and we just have to give our ideas and our thoughts about it, and we don't come back to God's word, we're despising God's word. We're treating God's word lightly. That's what it means to despise, to treat lightly. Treat as it's not important. What's more important is how you think about it. What's more important is how you feel about it. That's despising God. His word should be so much higher in our esteem than our words or anybody else's word. I don't care who they are, no matter how important they are, God's word is far superior. So we always come back to following his word, not following other people's opinions. Not going to follow their opinion. That word presumption also means behavior perceived as arrogant, disrespectful, and transgressing the limits of what is permitted or appropriate. So that's another definition. And like Webster Dictionary. Behavior perceived as arrogant. When we are giving our opinions, when we are doing things presumptuously, we're actually behaving arrogantly in the sight of God. We need to see it that way. Recognize, I'm walking in pride. I'm walking arrogant. Man, I'm into myself. I'm trusting in myself. That's not faith. That's the opposite of faith. I'm not going to walk in pride and trust in myself. I'm going to trust in the word of God. I'm going to come back to what he says about it. You got to put everything up against what he says about it. Always checking with him. Always checking in with him. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 12. It says, "Now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or the judge, that man shall die." That man shall die. That's pretty serious, don't you think? "So you shall put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously." Something else. This is how serious presumption is. It's worthy of the death penalty. People that act presumptuously are worthy of the death penalty in God's sight. That's how serious it is. Over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. He's talking about various characters, especially in the church. And he says in verse 10, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. There's that despising again. Despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So again, you know, you go back to Deuteronomy, and he says, the man who acts in verse 17, 12, he says, now the man who acts presumptuously and will not heed the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God or the judge, that man shall die. He won't listen to his leaders. He won't listen to instruction. He despises, again, he despises the truth. He despises the anointing on that minister. What does God say about that? He said, he shall die. Then you come to the New Testament, and he says, people that walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, just again, despise their leaders, despise that anointing. You know, there's so many people that are so much smarter than their teachers in our society today, you know. You know, it's funny, you see teenagers, you know, and I don't mean to pick on our teenagers. Our teenagers are great here at the church. They've been trained, you know. But generally speaking, you know, out in the world, you know, when a child grows up and becomes a teenager so many times, all of a sudden now that teenager, especially when they get keys to be able to drive a car, now they're smarter than everybody. You know, they rule. They rule the world, and they're smarter than dad and mom, you know. And dad and mom can hardly give them any instruction anymore because Junior is so much smarter. He's so much with the times, you know. He's so much more hip. I mean, dad and mom, they don't even know how to handle a computer. You know what I'm saying? They don't even know how to deal with email. My Lord Jesus, you know. I mean, they're just not with it. They're just not with it. Now, see, we're with it, you know. We're the millennials. We're the Xbox generation, the X, whatever it is. You know, we got the technology. We know, you know. Everybody's so smart. And so smart are the teachers. But, you know, it's the same way with adults, too. You know, adults, they still, after their teenage years, many times still don't seem to get it. And they're still smarter than those who are actually smarter than them. They're smarter in their own opinion. The more you build your life on your opinion, the dumber you are. Can I just be frank about it? The dumber you are. You are so stupid. The more you build your life on your opinion, the more you build your life on assumptions and being presumptuous, the more ignorant you actually are. That's why we got to come back to like Psalm 119, where he says, God, your word has taught me. In fact, I'm just going to turn there. Psalm 119. In verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. See, I'm meditating on his thoughts, God's words. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? Because I'm just smart. No, because your testimonies are my meditation. Now, God's word will make you very wise and cause you to be very smart. Hopefully not smarter than your spiritual teachers, because they're supposed to be building their teaching on the word of God. But there's a lot of folks, you know, I mean, my own parents, after I got saved and started digging into the word of God, I mean, I had answers for them, you know, to help them in life. I mean, my dad was going through something one time, and I came, and I had come home. I was actually at Bible school and came home for the holidays or something, and he was just really in a tough place, and he said some things, and immediately scripture came to my mind. And God gave me exactly what he needed, and it was just like a sentence or two. And it just totally set him free. Totally set him free. All this that was trying to weigh on him and oppress him was just broken with just a sentence or two. because of God's word. So God's word will make you wiser. God's word will make you smarter. But in and of yourself, apart from his word, if you're just guessing in life, it's better to keep your mouth zipped. Keep the lip zipped. Amen. You zip lip. That's why the Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to hear. Be good at listening, especially listening for God, listening for him to bring to your remembrance his word that you're faithfully meditating on and downloading into your spirit all the time. Let God bring things to your remembrance. And that's what we should be listening. Not just quick to say stuff. You can make things worse. People going through a tough place, and then you say what you think and how you feel, and all you do is make the bondage heavier. You just make it heavier. You just make it harder because you're just giving more of your opinion, adding to all the other opinions that are being given to people. So I don't want to just add my opinion and thus add a bunch of weights to people. I want to come in with the truth and cut all those weights right off. Call that big sack of weights that they're carrying around. Just walk over and just cut the straps, man. And they just totally set free. That's what the truth does. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set folks free. That's how we want to be. We don't want to just add more weight. More weight. Well, you know, this is what I'm thinking about it. This is how I feel about it. This is my opinion on it. And pick another rock and put it in there. Just another rock. God's words, God's truths are precious stones, jewels, pearls. They're costly. People's opinions are just rocks. They're just rocks. That's all they are. And some are boulders. Some have some very, very strong opinions. And so they'll put a nice big boulder on your back to help weigh you down in life. No, let's come in with the truth, man. Amen. Let's set the folks free, praise God forever. But here are these folks who are just presumptuous. They don't listen to instruction. They don't obey authority. And they walk according to the flesh. The lust of uncleanness. See, all this uncleanness, all this lust, it all goes back to being presumptuous. It goes back to being self-willed. They are presumptuous, self-willed. You got to watch about all this motivational speaking that motivates you to do what you want to do. You can do it. You can. Yes, you can. You are great. You are wonderful. Of course, God created you that way. And you, if you want to do it, you can do it. If you want to reach for the stars, you can go there. If you want to do this, there's nothing that'll be impossible for you. God is with you. Do thou own will. Do what you desire because you can do it. And so they throw God in the mix, but it's all about you doing what you want to do and being everything you want to be for you. And that's what God has for you, is a big you. No, that is deception, but that's what fills the land. It's all self-willed preaching, self-willed encouragement. Self-motivation, motivational talks. That should not be in the business world. Fine, you're a heathen. That's what you do. I got it. You're going to sell your product. Bless God. Get motivated. In the kingdom of God, we're not so arrogant. That's not how we live. That's not how we operate. Our encouragement comes from the scriptures. It comes from doing the will of God. I delight to do your will, O God, which includes speaking his will. Speaking your will, speaking your desires, doing your will, fulfilling your desires. That's what's going to fulfill us in life. That's what's going to satisfy us in life. Not doing our own thing. I said, not just doing our own thing. Doing his thing. Doing his thing. And thank God we can do his thing. We can know his thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because we acknowledge him in all things. We acknowledge him. We look to him. We acknowledge his word. And so we're able to do all things. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. So being presumptuous is a work of the devil. It's sin. It's despising God. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. And I'm not sure if I said that last time. Did I mention last time that Adam and Eve acted presumptuously? Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. It says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Yeah, but God said you will. No, not you. God loves you. God has a special plan for your life. I understand, but if you transgress his word, you will die. See? Because he said so. No, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Oh, that sounds good. Sounds good. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good, so I mean, he wasn't lying. The serpent wasn't lying about that. It looked good. Good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And they immediately dropped dead. No. No, but something died spiritually. And over time, they did die physically. Didn't they? Brought an entire curse on the earth. But notice, they didn't go back to what God said as being the final authority on it. That's why, you know, even when it comes to ministering, I'm up here ministering. And I say some things, well, that sounds good. It rhymed. And it was passionate. And I mean, boy, the pastor just laid it out there. I never heard anything like that before. That was so good. Okay, was it the word? Was it the Bible? Was it consistent with Scripture? That's what you got to come back to. Not how pleasant it was to hear, how good it all seemed and looked, and how it all felt. Is it really the word of God? Is it in context? Is this what God's saying? Is it consistent throughout the word of God? See, a lot of folks don't do that. They don't take the time to really look into it. They go, boy, I felt so good in that service. You know, some people, you dismiss the service. You can come up to them, you know, a half hour later. How was the whole service was amazing. What did they teach on? Huh? What did they teach on? Faith? Okay. But it really was good. I know it was good. Are we really listening? See, we could be paying attention. There's a lot of deception in this world. And you don't want to just take someone's opinion for it. Even somebody that's been doing great for years, they can get off. People can just all of a sudden get off. And you go, where in the world are you going? And they're totally away from the word of God. They've told them, oh, but this is Minister so-and-so. Well, Minister so-and-so might have just gone and become Minister Yo-Yo. You know what I'm saying? Now they're over here in double-minded land, and they're over here in the flesh, and they're talking about how you can be and what you can do, and you are wonderful, and it's you, and where is Jesus? Where's the scriptures? Sounds so good. It really ministers to my reasonings. But is it the word of God? I don't care who it is. Pay attention. Don't be schnookered. Don't be deceived. Pay attention. Because people drift and people get off and people add a lot of self into their messages. A lot of opinion. A lot of opinion in today's world today. And there's been people I have followed. I have thought these people are wonderful. They teach the word of God. And then I look and I say, where in the world are you now? And they're not teaching the word. Now, they mention the word. Don't get me wrong. They'll go to a text or two. They'll read a scripture. But they're not teaching the word. It's motivation. Motivational speaking. This isn't supposed to be about motivational speaking. This is supposed to be the truth of God's word. And if you're a person that builds your life on the truth of God's word, you're going to recognize it right away. You're going to go, well, I mean, that doesn't agree with the scriptures. That's a little bit too much of self. Let's come back to what the scriptures say. What do the scriptures actually say? And then you got to watch, too, that your religious traditions don't override the truth of God's word. Because you may hear some things that are like, now, I haven't heard anything like that before. Or that just doesn't agree with my theology. You know, my theology, you know, I've never seen it that way before. And I just don't think that's right. And besides that, I hear some other things over here that make a whole lot more sense to me. And then folks miss the truth because they're stuck in ideas that were based on what they thought was the truth and ideas upon ideas upon ideas. That's how you get tradition. Tradition, people get into the traditions of men when it comes to the things of God because that sounds right. They grab it as though it's the truth and then they build on it generation after generation and the whole thing is built on a bunch of fluff and it's false doctrine. And people don't even realize it because there's so much false doctrine that's so widely accepted as the truth because it's been going on for years and years and years. I mean, there was this one thing. I mean, I just believed it. I just joined in the party. I mean, I'd already always believed it and everything else. And so I came across somebody else that was saying, no, there's nothing in the Bible about this. I was reading a little pamphlet, and it was addressing one of these little doctrines. It said, well, there's nothing in the Bible that says anything about this, blah, 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 blah. And I just went, oh, you missed it there. You're a great minister, but you missed it on that one. And I was going, you missed it on that one. What was I basing that on? What I thought. See, because he said there's no scripture, and I didn't have scripture, but he missed it on that one. See, I just shoved it off to the side. God was so gracious to me, so merciful. I turned the light off to go to bed. I was just reading it before I was going to sleep. Put that pamphlet on the side, went to go to sleep, and I just lied there in the bed. And the last words he spoke in there just kept resounding in my ear. Not audibly, but, you know, in my heart. I just kept, in my thoughts, it just kept coming back to me. I'm like, I keep hearing him say those last words that there's, you know, this is not a na 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 na. And I'm lying there. And it keeps coming. I'm tossing and turning. I can't get this thought go away. And then I realize, now, wait a second. This is God. I'm not just thinking this. This thoughts keep coming to me. What he just said just keeps coming. So I sat up and I said, Lord, I've always believed this, that, and the next thing. I said, but, you know, I never actually asked you about this. That's a huge one right there. But I never actually asked you about this. I said, so what is the truth concerning this? Da-da-da-da-da. I mean, if I ever received revelation in my life, I received revelation that night. I mean, I started prophesying. I just started speaking out Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It was coming out. I knew there's no way I could even remember this. I'm saying, as I'm prophesying, I'm grabbing for a pen and a pen. So I turn my light on, looking for a pen and a pen. And I'm prophesying. This whole thing is just coming out of my mouth. And so I'm sitting there, I'm trying to write down as much as I can. Just try to write down as much as I can. Just started just flowing up out of me. And I just saw it. It was all over. I just sat down. I looked. And I mean, I had scripture, boy. Oh, my goodness. Scripture from cover to cover that showed that is not true. And yet it is such a popular belief in Christendom. And so the Lord dealt with me and dealt with me about it. And in fact, he began to deal with me about even writing a book about it. And I did. And so it's out there. Well, it's not out there because it's being revised right now. It's off the shelves. It's being revised because it was the first book I ever wrote. It was a long time ago. But that was a revelation from God. God just woke me up. So now, it doesn't matter what people, and you see, now you see it. You see it so clearly. So then people, they get to teaching on, they go that direction. You look and you see how superficial it can get. You see how full of holes it is and just how it's not grounded in the truth. It's not grounded in the truth. That's just one example. But again, there's a lot of things people just embrace as, yeah, I believe it. Well, this is what I've always been taught. They just embrace it. They just believe it. But they never really asked God about it. They never really studied it out for themselves. And then there's those that go and they study it out to prove that what they believe is correct. They don't study it out for God to show them if they're missing it somewhere. It's just, God, prove to me that this is correct. Now, John, I'm going to prove to everybody that this is correct. Leave God out of it. I'm just going to prove it. Well, yeah, you could do that. You could do that. And you can bend and twist and distort scripture. You know, people try to get things to fit into things that it just don't fit. It's not made to go in there. And they're just bending the scripture. They're going to pop that in there. Ching, 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 ching. You know what I'm talking about? Just kind of, I don't see a fit. This is the word of God. This is what God says about it. There's all this pressure behind it. You got to watch out. The whole thing might just blow up on you. No. We've got to come back to, what does the word say? What does the word say? The word, what the word says about it, that's what I say about it. That's what I say about it. Can you say amen? Praise God. What's the Spirit of God leading us to do? Where is he guiding us to go? You know, like, for example, when it came to coming here, we knew there was a change. We were out in Oklahoma at the time, and we knew there was a change. We both knew that we weren't going to be where we were much longer. I knew God. I was like, I know we're done here. I know there's somewhere else we're supposed to be going. And you know what the next thing that started happening was? We started coming across things that said Colorado on it. I mean, it was the craziest thing. We'd be in a car, license plate in front of us, Colorado. We go into a closet, you know, cleaning something out, and there's a puzzle piece. It says Colorado. I mean, Colorado. Colorado comes in the mail. And the two of us are like, this is really weird. I mean, we're getting Colorado. And we know there's a change. We know God's got something else for us to do. We know we're not going to be here much. We know he's going to take. So then we're looking, we're like, everything's Colorado, right? I mean, it was just thing after thing. Hi, where are you from? Colorado. We look at each other. They're from Colorado. I mean, it was just one Colorado after. I mean, it was a bombardment of Colorado things. I mean, things from Colorado. I mean, it wasn't just like a couple things. It was like bombardment. To the point, it was like, this is supernatural. This is definitely supernatural. We're seeing Colorado everywhere. But then we check in here. I don't got that. I didn't have anything. I knew I'm supposed to leave here. I don't got Colorado in here. I don't see Colorado in the Bible, and I don't see Colorado in my spirit. I don't see Colorado. I don't have Colorado. Do you have Colorado? I don't have Colorado, but look, I mean, this is pretty impressive. I see Colorado everywhere. Everything is screaming, go to Colorado! And, of course, we didn't, because it wasn't here. There was no agreement. There was no leading of the Spirit of truth. No conviction. There was no conviction. We were being wowed in our mind and our eyes and our senses, and the flesh was, wow, this is pretty impressive. This has got to be supernatural. No conviction. Nothing there. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And then, you know, I got that revelation. I was out praying. It seemed like the wheels were just coming off where I was at the time. That week was just like, what is going on? The grace just completely lifted. And I went out and I cried out to God. I said, God, I'll go wherever you tell me to go. Just tell me to go, and I'll go there. I said, but I just got to know where to go. And I remember coming back inside the house, and I opened up my Bible. Because, you know, after you ask God something, it's good to go where he talks to you. Don't just ask him and then never listen to what he says. Because what he wants to say to you is going to be grounded in the word of God, the written word of God. So I came back and I came inside. I opened up my Bible and it opened up to Hebrews chapter 11. I looked down and said, and by faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Now, that wasn't just a wow. That was like a it was like a punch in the gut. It was like, oh, that was conviction. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. So I said, okay, Lord. I see it. I got it. You just want me to go. I know I'm supposed to go and to go by faith. I don't have to know where I'm going. I do know I'm supposed to go, so I am going. Okay, Lord, I'm going to tell him tomorrow I'm leaving. And so I just thank you, Lord, return your grace to the situation. His grace came right back on the situation. And we left with high honors. Wonderful, wonderful time. Our leaving that place. But you see, we waited for that conviction, waited for the Spirit of God. So then I said, you know, okay, I'm going. So once I told him I was going, the grace came right back on. And then he spoke to my spirit and said, go apostle a church in Louisville, Kentucky. That's exactly what he said. Go apostle a church in Louisville, Kentucky. I have a word from God. I know what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Now, what happens if nobody showed up here tonight? Except my wife. She would always show up. Right? Thank God. So if she shows up, I'm going to be all right. So, you know, but what happens if people just don't show up? People just stop coming. Everybody just leaves. What do? I keep apostling a church in Louisville, Kentucky. Why? It's the last thing he told me to do. Well, you got to do something. I mean, you know, because, no, I don't react to the flesh. I don't walk by sight. I don't walk according to the flesh. I go by what God says to me. What did he say to me? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay by the word of God. And you know what? If you do, hallelujah, God is faithful and true. You will see the victory come on through time and time again. Amen. And everything will turn out just the way he promised. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.